The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
All right, guys, this is the trendsetter here for the High Spot Podcast, BodySlam.net exclusive here with the one, the only. If you don't know who this guy is, then you guys are living under a rock. He is none other than Shane Strickland. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time. How are you doing, and how's everything right now going on in the new year for you?
Everything's been just a whirlwind right now, just so busy. Very good. Everything's very beneficial right now for me, and I'm in a good place in my life and career.
Being busy is always a good thing, too. Not too long ago, I knew, if people follow you on social media, knew that you had a big moment, and not necessarily in your career, but in your life. You popped the question, you were engaged. How was that more nerve-wracking than anything you've ever done in your career?
Absolutely. It was more nerve-wracking than any promo I ever had to cut in front of a live audience or in the camera. So it was literally just, it was a perfect day that could have happened for her, for us, actually. It was on her birthday. We were in Seattle, the city we were both born in and met in 2 years prior. So it was just like, oh, this has been a perfect time for it. Her parents were all for it, found the perfect ring. Had to go to the Seattle Space Needle. Everything was like aligned. It was like the stars aligned. So she couldn't have asked for a better time or better place to do it. It was just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing, right, in terms of getting the ring, make sure the ring fits, because you don't want to put that thing on the finger and all of a sudden it doesn't fit, it's too small or it's too big. When did you know? When did you know that this was it for you, man? This was the one?
Pretty much the day I met her. I met her, like, and it was funny, it was at the first Defy show, I met her, and, like, she just glowed as soon as I walked into the room. There was something special about her. I spoke to Jeff Cobb, because he knew who she was back in, out in PCW Ultra in Los Angeles. He was like, oh, yeah, that's Carlina. She works at PCW Ultra, helps out. She's a really nice girl, really great person. I'm like, So I just found out more information about her, then contacted her. Like probably later on that week through social media, and then like I would say it was the week of that I debuted. Me and Dez and Xavier debuted for PWG. She was in California that week, and we came to did PWG in LA, and then stayed there the full week. So we debuted at the Crash the following week, and she was in LA the full week. So I contacted her. We went on our very first date, and that's when I knew. I was like, oh, this is the woman.
Wow, man, you couldn't write a better storyline than that, basically, what you're describing. But it's also really important for people to understand, too, that, you know, I think people see the glamour and the enjoyment out of what it is to be a professional wrestler and to travel and all those things, which seem like fun. It's very taxing mentally and physically as well. Can you kind of just describe a little bit the mere fact from your own personal experience, too, that, you know, it's very rare to find that nowadays, people to be that understanding, knowing that you're somebody who travels consistently from place to place?
It's actually kind of painful, actually, traveling so much, because everybody thinks that it's what we do in the ring that causes so much ache and pain, but it's really the traveling afterwards, because afterwards, the shows don't end till like maybe 11, 11:30. You're not in your hotel room till like 1, sometimes 2, depending how far the hotel is from the venue, and then you're getting up at like 5, 4 o'clock in the morning to go do it all over again, so you're sleeping like on the planes. You're not really sleeping in beds, really. And that's another case from what I just had to do this past weekend. I'm going from coast to coast to coast. I'm living in Orlando, flying to LA to do PCW Ultra, then connecting to Seattle the next morning, then going all the way back to Buffalo to go to drive through Canada, and coming back through Buffalo, then flying all the way back to Seattle to be with family. That's very taxing on your neck, your spine, your body. Your back's popping all the time. You don't get comfortable seating unless you're like a superstar like the Young Bucks and Cody, or you're flying first class all the time. And even still, that's not that much better. So it's probably just the travel that really gets to you more than the actual wrestling.
You kind of just mentioned too Cody and Kenny and things like that. I mean, what was your reaction when you found out the AEW was coming to fruition and you saw did you see the press conference? I mean, what was your initial thoughts when you found out that these guys were basically making their own promotion?
I wasn't surprised at all. It was just honestly, I was just waiting for them to actually open up when they were going to start it and when they were going to do it. It was just only a matter of time. You know, seeing how the success of All In went, you only knew it was only a matter of time before they move on to the next level, which is going to be All Elite Wrestling. And so to me, I'm not surprised. I just wish them the best. I hope they actually do succeed, which they're all go-getters. They're all like overachievers when it comes to this wrestling business. So I honestly expect them to do incredibly well. It's just like, now it's just a matter of like when the TV is going to roll in, when the roster is going to be fully complete and set, when the budgets are going to be laid out. It's just a matter of when, but it's not at this point. They just can't do any wrong.
No, it seems like they're on a huge tidal wave of momentum. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And that was kind of the feeling for us, Shane, covering the world of professional wrestling for the last 2 years. It seems like it's been on a huge boom, and it's just continuing in 2019. Can you talk about, in terms of you being a performer inside the industry rather than us being fans seeing it from one side, what's it like for you when you see this huge boom, especially that we've talked about this before about the impact of social media and how influential it is right now? But it seems like right now there seems to be a huge desire and drive, and more people want different things and want more options to choose from. For being a performer, is that just kind of great for you because now you have so many more options for yourself to kind of hone your craft and let people know who Shane Strickland really is?
To me, this is an opportunity. This is like finally an opportunity because I feel like a lot of us had to sit back for a while and let these guys who are the top guys for years kind of run wrestling for a while. We had to kind of like coast for a little bit. Now that everybody's swooped up, and then now we have opportunity to step up and take those spots and truly show that we can lead. There's all this variety of talent and personalities and characters and new entrepreneurs as well. You know, like Young Bucks are doing this the best, but there's also other guys out there that are being entrepreneurs with their social media, with what they do on the outside of just wrestling. You know, there's YouTube, there's these Instagram, you know, there's these podcasts that everybody's running. We get that opportunity to put our platform on the forefront and have the audience, not just in wrestling, but also other aspects of entertainment. They can tune in, and now we can connect to other realms of entertainment. You know, like Joey Ryan's connecting through comedy, you know, like I myself is trying to connect with hip hop and everything. There's Ember Moon and the New Day connecting through video game. So there's all these other aspects of entertainment we can dive into now that we got the open opportunities to do it. And now I feel like with these other, like the All Elites, opening them up and Ring of Honor and New Japan, Impact, we have opportunities to take chance.
Definitely, and taking a chance, and obviously a lot of people betting on themselves, which becomes to be a huge thing, especially nowadays where, you know, if you're not happy or content with certain things. I mean, let's just look, for example, what's going on in WWE. We've heard a lot of people wanting to ask for the release. How accurate that is, we don't know. It's only hearsay. But you can kind of understand it, that they feel they're not being used to their highest potential. They now have an opportunity to kind of, you know, do something on their own and go get another opportunity if one doesn't present itself. I mean, to me, Shane, you're probably one of the biggest free agents right now in the world of professional wrestling. In my opinion, I'm sure a lot of people share my opinion as well. For you, you know, in this time right now, in the early stages of 2019, is there something you're looking at particularly within a company, or are you kind of just playing the waiting game to see what's out there right now? Because there are clearly, like we talked about before, many options. What are you looking for particularly for yourself to make you want to maybe necessarily commit or lean towards more signing a deal with a certain company? Maybe AEW, who knows?
Honestly, with how well I've done for myself in the past year independently, I'm looking to break into the next tax bracket. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that financial security now that I'm about to be a married man. I have two children. You know, I have like things I need to secure in my life, you know. And not that I'm saying I'm against like hard work and like grinding still. I still want to grind. But at the same time, I want to be like very well compensated, and I want a company to literally be like, you know, we believe in you and your abilities and what you bring to our promotion, what we bring to this company. and we want to pay you for that. We want to properly compensate you for that. And I want to overachieve. I've always been like one of the guys that's never like, okay, he's good, but we don't see him at this. And then I overachieve that. You know what I mean? And that's what I want. I want to finally get what I feel like I can finally say I deserve. There have been years I've like, oh, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Now I feel like I'm pretty much there. And now I want to like finally be compensated for that. You know, that's what I'm looking for.
Oh, it's understandable. I mean, there reaches a certain point, too, where, like you said, you don't mind the work, but at the same time, you want to be paid amicably for all the work you've put in and knowing that you're still continuing to do that. No, it's completely understandable, Shane. And like I said, that's obviously what you're looking for, financial stability, as you're going to be a married man and you have a family of your own now. That's, you know, everybody can see that point. But, you know, something I've come to see right now is, like, going back to, you know, people wanting to go to certain places now and you know, certain people, for example, within WWE asking for the release. I mean, how are you able to work around something like that? Because you were signed for example, Lucha Underground, right? And then you know, there's still a debate whether there's going to be another season. So is it something where you consider, you know, if they came up to you and said, hey, listen, we're doing season 5, we'd love to have you there. Would that be something that would be of interest to you? Or is it really more of just right now you're looking at people who are willing to invest in you rather than the other way around?
I finished my tenure with Lucha Underground very well. You know, with the Killshot character, I've done something with that character that nobody really expected. I don't think the company even expected the character to get as popular, do what it did in that promotion. You know, so like once again, that comes with the company putting faith into my work and my abilities, and they did for a certain extent, but I don't feel like I was ever put out to be the one that can be the forefront, the face in the forefront of the promotion. And I want to go someplace that does believe in me, does believe in that ability, and can honestly compensate me for that. So if Lucha was to offer me season 5, I probably would not take the deal. There's no slight against them. It's just I'm at a different point in my career of where I am as Shane Strickland opposed to Killshot. I feel like I can do a lot more and I can benefit of the company a lot more as myself, rather than portraying a different character.
With that being said, though, let's say, for example, if WWE came and said they wanted to offer you a deal, right, and they want you to sign with them exclusively, a great deal, would you be willing to go there and possibly go through the ranks of NXT to work your way up to the, you know, quote-unquote main roster? Would that be an option? Would that be something you consider?
I feel like all the options are available, all of them, as long as they can honestly achieve, like, give me what I'm asking for that I feel like I've earned, I'm willing to do that. But, yeah, absolutely. But that hasn't come yet, but I'm definitely open.
Do you think there's a huge distinction difference there when you see people in NXT, and this is something I discuss with a lot of talent, and I discuss with a lot of you know, writers and promoters themselves? There seems to be a huge dynamic, if we're talking strictly about WWE here, you know, from NXT to WWE, where it seems like when you're in NXT, there are this certain type of demographic you're reaching towards in terms of people already know who you are. You know, these are guys that have made names for themselves and are now working through the NXT system up to WWE. But yet when they get called up, it seems like they kind of get lost in the shuffle to a generic audience. They're not as well known. Do you notice that as well? Or what do you think it's being done in NXT differently than what's being done on the main roster?
It's a challenge. That's the challenge of it. That's almost, it's pretty much the same thing as like all the best college athletes in the NCAA go to an NFL team. Now they still got to fight to get on the team. They're literally fighting and challenging against all the absolute best athletes in football in the world, you know, and that's not going to be easy. Everybody's special. Everybody's great athletes, but you got to make the cut, you know, and that, a lot of people saying it's like unfair and everything. No, that's just the way the business is. You got to you have to fight through and show why you are special, what you have that's different from the guy next to you. Like this guy, everybody has their advantages and disadvantages. What's your advantage to this guy, to the guy next to you that's bigger, better looking, faster, stronger, can do this, can talk? That's literally what we're finding. You're at the cream of the crop now. Where do you see yourself? Where do you pair in comparison to everybody else? You know, And I'm willing to take that challenge because I put my skill and ability up against anybody's. And I'm still not the perfect athlete. I'm still not the perfect performer. There's still things I want to work on, but that's the challenge that I want to. I want to take that challenge. You know what I mean? And it's not just at NXT. I want to take that challenge in Ring of Honor. I want to take that challenge in New Japan. I want to take that challenge in All Elite. I want to take the challenge in Impact. You know, anywhere, that's a challenge for me. And once again, I feel like I've always been overlooked because that challenge has always been put against me, and I've always overachieved it.
It's funny how you say that, right? Last time we had you on the show, Shane, we were building this huge match between you and Ricochet. And now we see what Ricochet has done in NXT. A lot of people question the move, question, you know, would he be able to succeed there? Would he be a fish in a large pond, basically? And he's done really good for himself, too. Is he probably another quick example in terms of somebody who, you know, who believes in himself and has shown that success and has shown that ability to grow within the industry and show other layers of himself? What are your thoughts on what you've seen Ricochet do in NXT?
Everything I expected him to do. I'm literally not surprised, once again. When you take one of the best high flyer in the wrestling game today and give him a platform like that, he's going to succeed. You know, but I'm truly not surprised one bit. And hats off to him because he's in a sea full of the absolute best. And what WWE did, they picked up the absolute best at what he does, which was a smart move on them. And they gave him the platform. They gave him the tools. They gave him the opponents. They gave him everything he needed to fully succeed. And he's doing exactly what I expected him to do.
You know, it would go without saying the fact that, you know, this whole year past 2018 has been a huge surge. You know, we talked about All In, and now, you know, recently, not too long ago, talking about AEW being created, and Double or Nothing's going to be in May. It seems like, like I mentioned before, a huge boom in wrestling. Just a lot of things happening in the world where there seems to be, in a sense, a bidding war now within companies. Do you get a sense from your perspective now that you are a free agent and you are looking to see what's out there in the market? Do you see more collectively these companies working theoretically together? Because you've seen a lot of it, for example, All In, a lot of companies like, you know, Supercard of Honor 2, New Japan and Ring of Honor working together, producing a card, sharing talent, All In, everyone coming in together and working with Impact and things of that nature. Do you feel it makes more sense for all these companies to kind of work collectively within themselves to keep themselves, I wouldn't say afloat, but to make it more exciting as opposed to not necessarily they're competing with the likes of WWE, but for people to notice them more because, you know, it all works better when they're working together rather than working against each other?
Oh, yeah. I do see them working together for a period of time. But with these exclusive contracts being handed out and all the money that's going around, it's going to start shaving down a little bit of it, I see. I do see the talent sharing happening for a little bit, but it's going to crack down because you have to protect your talent if you're going to be doing exclusive contracts. You got to protect your money and your investment on the people that you're signing to these. So it's going to only go so far, and because I feel like these people want to have their puppet strings on these guys a little bit, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not too much that they can't just wander around and do what they want to do, but to a certain extent, because you have to protect your guys, you got to protect your investment. You know, these guys will be representing your brand, and if they go somewhere else representing your brand and they are made to look like crap or they're made to like be diminished or put in a harmful state for them, then it affects you and the company, and it's a trickle-down effect. One storyline gets messed up, and it hurts the next guy, which hurts the next guy, which hurts the next guy. So it's going to happen, but I definitely think it's going to be pulling back a little bit.
Yeah, I get that feeling too. I mean, that's one of the excitements of being an independent contractor. I mean, you can go from place to place. You know, some people kind of wean away from exclusive contracts because they don't want to feel like they're being pinned down. But, you know, at this stage in your career, you say you've done a good amount of going back and forth and traveling. So, you know, your perspective might differ in terms of people who are still, you know, trying to make a name for themselves in the industry. You know, the New Year's come along, and I hate, you know, when the New Year comes along, in a sense, just because people are always making New Year's resolutions. Everybody wants to, per se, you know, say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to, you know, pick something, and basically they'll say that, and it lasts for about maybe 2 hours or 2 weeks, and it's done. But more for yourself personally, you've grown a significant amount, I feel, internally as well. You've matured more as we all theoretically get older. We all like to feel like we mature. What goals have you set for yourself other than trying to find some financial stability, which we all want and we all crave for? What goals are you setting for yourself in terms of your performance and character? You said clearly there are things you want to work on. What are those things hoping to get accomplished for yourself to give this new version of Shane Strickland people haven't seen yet?
I don't know. I haven't really set plans like that. You know, like what new things I want to try to accomplish as far as like my looks, my things with my in-range stuff, the places I want to work, and like those things just are naturally coming to me, and I just follow the flow of it. I don't really like at this point. I'm not making plans really. I'm just. Mm-hmm. I'm very calculated in a sense that I don't make those kind of plans. I calculate based on where things line up, what opportunities are in the wake. When they change, you have to change with it. You have to adapt. So if you have a set plan and those and things alter, you have to alter your plans, which is messes up the entire format of what you're doing. I don't, so I'm not really making a plan. I'm kind of just like, I'm seeing opportunities and I work along with that. You know, I'm an adapting person. You know, if anything, I don't even really have plans for my podcast, Source City Podcast. I'm literally just making opportunities for it and seeing what comes from it. Make sure you check out the Source City Podcast. Every Monday nights we film. Episodes drop every Friday, Saturdays, and you can subscribe to us on different pivot shares. We're pivot share with Defy, PCW Ultra, CZW Now, High Spots, Progress, Title Match, all over the whatever major promotion we are sharing with their pivot share. You can follow us at SwerveCityPodcast.pivotshare.com. So, but I'm always constantly working and always constantly thinking ahead, but I wouldn't say I'm necessarily planning ahead.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
No, I completely understand that. But where you say you've grown and progressed, I mean, you said there are clearly things you want to work on, and as we are all our own worst critic to a degree. And I know this isn't necessarily a plan you're trying to do because you just said you're adapting to the opportunities that are presented to you, or that you make for yourself. But in terms of an in-ring performer, are you? I wouldn't say satisfied. I guess are you satisfied right now with what you've done in the ring and what you are as a performer? Do you feel there's that next level that you can reach for yourself?
Oh yeah, I'm not satisfied at all. If anything, I feel like I'm at 60% of my satisfaction.
Really?
With my in-ring ability. Yeah, absolutely. I performed well, but I've always felt like there's always a missing piece to a puzzle. That until I get to the point where I'm never missing a piece anymore from what I'm putting out, I'm never going to be satisfied. At this point, I'm a thinker now. I just think. I calculate every single thing. Every single thing I do in the ring, I calculate it first. Why I need to get to this part of the ring the way I do. Why this body part has to be in this placement. Why, where and when and timing, all that needs to be embedded in my DNA. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I don't even have to think about it anymore. It's just a do. I strategize differently against every opponent because everybody has their strengths. Every opponent has their weaknesses. I have strengths. I have weaknesses. And that's the beauty of what we portray in the ring. Whose strengths are going to outweigh whose weaknesses? Whose weaknesses are going to give up to that other person's strengths? Now, that's where my mindset goes into planning these matches now. And I feel like I conquered about 60% of that aspect of professional wrestling. As far as in my abilities, I just need to bring it up to 70 this year. Then probably the next year will be 80, and then I'll probably be at like 81, then 82, then 83. it's never gonna be like a huge boost like that. It's a slow calculation, but. Yeah, I'm always working on that. Yeah.
No, you're always working on it. It's great, man. But I find it kind of shake my head a little bit from a fan's point of view, because from what we see, how you perform, and I've had the guys have had the privilege of watching Shane Strickland perform in the ring, it is amazing. It's kind of crazy and kind of scary in a way that you think you're only at a certain percentage. You're like at 60%. You know, oh my goodness, I can't wait till we see you at a full like 81. That's going to be a scary thing to watch.
I take a great appreciation to that, you know, because like I said, I'm my own worst critic, and it's awesome to see the other perspective. That's how the outside perspective of the fan base feels about my work, and I appreciate that. But I'm always looking to. I just never feel like it's enough. There's always something I could have done different, done better. I should have added. I should have taken away. I should have done it this side. I should have, like, slowed it down. I should have sped it up. There's always going to be things. And Sami Callihan, that's got me into that mindset, because he's literally the hardest person to ever critique me. I can have, like, literally the most perfect match ever, and there's still going to be a missing piece that I just didn't – I was there – I was close, but not close enough. After every match, I have that mindset to myself. So I honor him in embedding that into my mind.
It's funny how you mentioned Sami Callihan. We've had him on the show too. I remember asking him a particular question, and it proves your point correctly, and my point correctly when we had him on, and how you kind of described him in terms of, you said you could have the most perfect match and he'll always be there to criticize something. And that's great sometimes to have, because, you know, you never want to, for example, rest on your laurels or think, oh, I've made it or I'm already there. You always want that one person to help get you better and keep you humbled and motivated as you are right now, looking towards, you know, the future here in 2019. But I asked Sami a question, which I guess I'll ask you too, and you kind of answered in a way, but maybe if I approach it from a different light, I might get a different answer here. Because, you know, with everything in terms of your journey, of your career and how it's progressed and how it's continually progressing, right? For myself and for Jeff, we worry so much about, you know, trying to reach certain goals. And as soon as we accomplish them as quickly as we possibly can, we move on and say, all right, what's the next thing? And what's the next thing? What's the next thing? So we really don't have the time for ourselves, which I'm sure you can relate to and you kind of described, to sit back and really enjoy the journey so much in terms of worrying so much about getting to that destination, getting to that next goal that we set for ourselves internally or mentally, whatever happens at that time. And I asked Sami that question. He said he can't. He can't sit back and look at what he's accomplish and actually be proud of it, because he's always worrying about what's the next thing. Have you had an opportunity to, maybe with this new year coming and being with family, have you had a chance to at least appreciate where you've come from and where you are now, as opposed to just worrying about what's the next thing in your career?
I just had this conversation with one of my friends about this kind of thing. Like, you spend like 10 years now, March makes 10 years for me. 10 years about just chopping down the trees, chopping through the forest. And all you're looking for is just to get out on the other side. But you need to stop and turn around and look how many trees you just chopped, how far in depth you are inside that forest, you know. But I'm like, oh man, I turn around and look. I'm like, wow, I did chop through a lot. I made a huge path right now. But at the same time, I'm still in the forest. And that's how my mind is always. Like, I looked back and I did a year in review with Rob Naylor, and he looked back and just like the first 3 months of 2018, it was insane. I'm like, wow, I did all this just in 2018, and it's only March of that year on the review, and it's like, wow, that's really cool. I never thought I'd even be here. I never thought it. Like, I was like sleeping in my mom's basement maybe like four years ago, and like only having like 2 bookings a month and not making any money, and like, the mothers of my children always like constantly arguing and trying to make money for them. And then, you know, it was just so much that was going on to the point where I'm at now. I'm traveling the world on a weekly basis and providing more than enough for what they need, you know? So it's like really cool to sit back and appreciate that. But like, I'm always looking like, wow. But at the same time, I can always do more for them. I can always do more for my future wife. I want to provide as much as I can, so I can't sit back and dwell on the things that I've accomplished. I'm looking for the things that I possibly can accomplish, you know, and that's the exciting part about what I do. That's what keeps me getting up every morning to fly, get to the airport and fly to the next part of the country, next part of the world. You know, that's what gets me motivated to get in the ring for 30 minutes a night and perform and get my body banged up on the ground and everything like that. You know, like it's that's the motivator. That's what keeps me up. You know, I want to be better than the next guy. I don't want to deter the next guy from achieving his dreams, but I want to be better than that guy achieving his. You know, I always want to try to be better than the next, and then show like, oh, this guy's doing really good, but you need to look over at this man right here, what he's doing. Like, and there's just something different about me. I always wanted to have that ability to just take somebody's like attention and just be like, all right, these guys are good, but there's something about him. I think that's where the special people in the industry come from, to have that ability to do that. I've always been trying to work towards that. I'm getting closer and closer to that.
Well, there's no doubt, Shane, you're getting closer to that, and I'm glad you've had a chance to at least appreciate the fact of how many trees you've chopped down, because let's say it's been quite a few, if you don't mind me saying that, Shane. You've chopped down a lot of trees. That forest is pretty bare right now, but I know you're still a long ways to go from where you want to be. So with that being said, Shane, like, where is it you want to be? I ask people this all the time, too, and I've asked this myself, and I begin to question even like what my motivation is, in a sense. Not that you question your motivation, but you know, when people say they've quote unquote made it, what does that mean to you? What is the I've made it aspect for you? Is it reaching WWE's, having your WrestleMania moment? Is it having a certain amount of financial money where you can say safely, okay, I don't, although I'm passionate about this, I don't have to do this anymore. What's in your mind, I've made it, so you can finally say I've gone through the entire forest now?
For me, making it is like providing, like, it's to make get that financial stability for, like, that my kids will be good. They don't have to worry about anything. I have, like, three different avenues for that or categories I could classify making it in. I would say with that would be one. Two would be having that WrestleMania moment. Three would be having a legacy that people are going to start making formats to how you did it, that's how the rest of the world is going to be doing it now. You know, like, that's literally changing the game. That's literally how you just made a different layout for the next generation of professional athletes to come in and try to take the same route that you did, because you did it in a different way that nobody else has done it. For me, I feel like that's different for my culture as an African-American in this industry. Like, I don't think a lot of guys are doing this job the way that I've been doing it, you know, winning the championships in multiple different promotions around the country and in the world. There's not a lot of African Americans that are doing that, you know. So I think there's a big responsibility on my shoulders to leave a legacy like that for the next young black kid to grow up and to try to do what I'm doing, you know. But I don't feel like my job is done yet, because there's still a lot more to do. You know, there's still a lot more to be progressive and push this thing forward more. You know, like, I got to get into the big industries in order to do that. You know, now I'm at the opportunity. I'm at the base of that. I had the opportunity to jump into the big industries and accomplish those goals for, like, not just for me, but for my culture as well.
No, that's very important too. I mean, talking about, you know, things that are never being done, never being finished right now. The one thing that's a definite, 2018 is long gone now. Although we're still in January, it's long gone, and it's been done, and a lot of great things have happened in the world of professional wrestling. For yourself, what's one of the highlights of your career right now in 2018 that you can look back and say, wow, that was pretty cool what I did in 2018?
For me, I say wrestling Kushida in OTT in Ireland. That was a really awesome moment for me. It didn't dawn on me until I recently just watched it back. I believe it was August we had the match, possibly before that. And it was like, wow, this is a match I can honestly say I was really proud of. You know, getting ESPN interviews, you know, defeating Matt Riddle in the ECW arena for the Evolve title. That's huge. Man, that's insanely huge, you know, especially since 2013, I was having massive multi-man matches, and I wasn't even, like, on the radar for in the Evolve super independent promotion circuit and all that, so that's huge. This was in 2018, but 2017, facing off against the Elite in Rev Pro in London, you know, main evented by three African-American kids like me, Leo Rush, and Ryan Smile in London, in York Hall, you know, against Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. That's a big deal. There's so much I could say, like, in 2011, now I'm just looking back at 2018, it's just like, it all just whisked by so fast. But, once again, like I said, I'm chopping up the trees. I'm looking at 2019.
Nah, definitely, you know, chopping 2018,
I did it, but now it's 2019, there's more stuff to do.
Definitely more stuff for you to do, Shane. And just kind of closing up on this, and I thank you so much for your time. You just mentioned, you know, how you know, main evented, you know, with the Elite in dealing with performers like that. I mean, is, you know, I'm a firm believer, and this is coming from a fan standpoint. Obviously, I'm not in there and performing like you, but I always feel like you always have to get in there with people who are either at a higher level or better than you for you to get better. Not saying those guys are better than you, but at the same time, they perform at a different level, which kind of helps educate you and makes you be able to go to that next level. Is there anybody right now, that that's out there right now that you would want to have that opportunity that you haven't had the chance to share the ring with?
I would say Pac right now. I've only met him about 2-3 times, but he's definitely like the next generation, next level guy that was one of the guys I looked up to. I was coming up, still look up to him in a big way, but when we get the opportunity to share that ring together, I know I'm going to like feel the energy levels from him. That's just different. Like, man, like these guys, there's guys that are good, but then there's guys that are just like, different. They just give off different vibes. They have an aura about them. You know, there's just something special about these people. And I know that Pac is that guy. So that's probably the next one for me. And I'm sure it will happen at some point. At some point, 2019. Don't know where. Don't know how. Don't know when. But I'm sure it will. And once again, that's just those things I don't plan for. Mm-hmm. I just, when those opportunities arise, I alter and then I adapt to them.
Well, I know you don't plan for a change, but I'm sure a lot of fans are anticipating and waiting for that moment to happen, myself included, because you just mentioned that. That was something I was thinking as well. And I got, no joke, the hairs on my arm started standing for what can be between the two of you if that should ever happen in the near future in 2019. So definitely excited from this fan standpoint to see what could possibly happen between you and Pac if that does end up happening. But like you said, you're creating opportunities, you're dealing with opportunities in 2019. And you know what? I can't begin to say thank you so much, Shane, for all that you've done within this industry and all you continually to do, and I can't wait to see what 2019 holds in store for you. So thank you so much, Shane. Really appreciate it. May I say, on behalf of the High Spot Podcast and BodySlams.net, man, we are wishing you a very wonderful wedding, whenever that's going to be. Have you guys set a date yet?
July 5th.
It's going to be amazing. Jeff will get his tux ready, so will I. I'm joking. It'll be an amazing event, regardless of the Jersey Wrecking Crew's there, because you know what, Shane, you know, to see all this happen for you, but more importantly, for us as fans and for us being able to talk to you, to see not only great things happen in your career, Shane, but great things happen in your life, makes it more worthwhile for us wanting to root for you more. So congratulations to you, your lovely bride-to-be, and like I said, we can't wait to talk to you again throughout the year.
Thank you very much for having me, man. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And that was our BodySlam.net exclusive interview with Shane Strickland. You guys can catch him on social media. Hit him up on Twitter at Swerve Confident. You can also check out his podcast, the Swerve City Podcast, which drops every Friday and Saturday. Just simply go to swervecitypodcast.pivotshare.com to check out those upcoming episodes. So huge thanks goes out to Shane Strickland again. This is a BodySlam.net exclusive here on the High Spot Podcast. Guys, remember, we do this for one reason and one reason only. If you haven't figured it out by now, we do this for you, the crew.